I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. This morning, we come to contemplate the greatest of all subjects, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which Christ described as His lifting up. It is interesting to note that our Lord Jesus preached 3 sermons on His own crucifixion. And the subject of that crucifixion He described as His lifting up. If you look with me at John's Gospel, chapter 3, you'll read there at verse 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then turn over in your Bible to the 8th chapter of the same Gospel. And in the 8th chapter of the same Gospel, verse 28, Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. And then when you come to the 12th chapter of the same Gospel, at the verse 32, we read, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It is interesting to note that Christ takes the word Son of Man, not Son of God, but Son of Man, in these 3 great texts. First of all, He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There you have the certainty of the cross. There's no doubt about it. Notice that must, so must the Son of God be lifted up. Come to the next text. And He says in the next text, then said Jesus to them, when ye have lifted up the Son of God, then shall ye know that I am He. There we have the clarity of the cross. Nothing makes plain like the cross of Christ. If you want to see and know what the cross is about, you will only know it when you come to it and gaze upon it, then shall ye know that I am He. The cross was the greatest declaration of the deity of Christ that we could have. At that cross, Christ declared Himself to be God the Son. It's at the cross, that we see the light, the clarity, the cross. And then when you come to the last verse, He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. There you have the centrality of the cross. The cross is central. You can't take anything from it. You can't add anything to it. For at that cross, and by that cross, you have the centrality of the cross. Was it any wonder that the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us take each of these texts to these three sermons that Christ preached and ponder the wonder of their works and the workings of their power. First, we have the certainty of the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are three things here you need to note. First, the prophetic certainty of the cross. We have to retrace our steps. We have to go back to the whole Old Testament road until we're back in Eden's garden. And we have in Eden's garden the first promise of the cross. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. But then the text says, and we come from Eden to Moses. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You say to me, why is it that Christ is not described in that text as a lamb, but He's described as a serpent? Because of the very heart of the cross is the fact that the cross was a place where sin had to be shattered and smashed and broken. And it only could be shattered, smashed, and broken when God's Son, the Son of Man, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ typified as a serpent, the sin question to be dealt with. We have the prophetic certainty of the cross. We have also the divine certainty of the cross. Please note that title, the Son of Man. The Son of God couldn't die because He's deity. But the Son of God, taking union with His deity, our humanity, and becoming the Son of Man, became subject to death. That's how God the Son, as Son of Man, was able to die that you might live. The divine certainty of the cross. And then we have the gospel certainty of the cross. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know. There is no certainty like the prophetic certainty of God Himself. It cannot be changed. And then what about Moses? He came out of Egypt after he lived there for 40 years. He lived another 40 years outside Egypt as doing the work of a shepherd for his father-in-law's sheep. He must have been a very good man when he could work for 40 years without grumbling for his father-in-law. That was a miracle in itself. Try it. Find out. He lived another 40 years outside Egypt. And one day he took the flock to Sinai, which was a great sharp incline of the rocks, and he conquered the mountain sheep pass, and he gained the summit, and he came down on the back side of the mountain top. And suddenly a fire burst from a little bush. He looked at it, because although the bush was burning furiously, the foliage of the bush was not consumed. The flame of that bush started Moses on a second journey. He journeyed back to Egypt. He was not fleeing. He was rather returning right to Egypt. To make certain what was uncertain in the 80 years that passed away. And then he returned from Egypt again to the promised land. And once again he was halted by serpents who invaded the nation of Israel. But God found a way of deliverance. A brazen serpent fashioned, tied to a pole, and raised to the gaze of every stricken man and woman. The serpent lifted up. What certainty? Every second of the lifting up of that serpent, there was healing. Hundreds and hundreds of dying men and women were healed completely by the upraising of the serpent. Here was absolute certainty. It could be demonstrated every second as hundreds and hundreds of these smitten Israelites were gloriously healed by the open manifestation of this glorious type of Christ. There's power in the cross. Healing power for sinners in the cross. And our text ends with the words, "So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice this wonderful prophetic certainty of the cross. Notice this wonderful gospel certainty of the cross. But notice this gospel certainty in another way. Those that had it had everlasting life. And God sustained that life. How did he sustain it? He gave them manna every day. Every 6 days, rain, hail, or blow, there was 6 great falls of manna. What of the healed waters for refreshment and cleansing? It became an abiding river that followed Israel all through the wilderness. So the Bible tells me, read it and see. These never failed. Here was the gospel certainty of the cross in action. God is the God of certainties. Not one good thing ever fails of the mercy of God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forever. But having looked at the certainty of the cross, turn with me to my next text. It highlights the clarity of the cross. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Oh, the glorious clarity of the cross. What words are these? Then shall ye know that I am he. It was only after Christ's resurrection and Pentecost that the full view of the cross was preached, and Christ's almighty power was gloriously and wonderfully manifested. He was lifted up on the cross so that he could be lifted up in the preaching of the cross. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. And if you're saved today, you know that power of God. What great attraction is here demonstrated? What drawing power is here manifested? What dynamic energy is here released? Let us never forget, it was sinful hands that lifted him up on the cross. 4 soldiers, vile as hell, they nailed him to the old tree of the cross and stayed it up. But that cross that they uplifted, that exaltation, was the operation of the Savior's power. And if you read carefully the narratives of the cross, you'll find that those that crucified him were saved, for they confessed him to be the Son of God. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, thank God you're saved. That's the wonder-working power of the cross of Calvary. It draws men. It draws women. It draws boys and girls of all generations and every part of the whole world to the Savior day after day. Somewhere at this present moment, there's a sinner. I don't know where he's in Europe, or Asia, or Africa, or America, Australia. He's getting saved. Why? Because Christ has lifted up. You can't stop the power of a lifted up Christ. The cross is God's dynamic power, released by grace on poor, lost, hell-deserving wretches. It is great let loose with almighty power upon the whole earth. The power of that cross, the precious blood, is everlasting. It's mighty to cleanse. It's mighty to loose. It's mighty to smash the powers of hell. It's mighty to set free. When the Son of Man is lifted up, then the power comes like a rushing mighty wind, and things can never be the same again. Hell is flattened. Heaven bursts open its wonder. Angels stand in awe at what God can do for dirty old sinners with a heart as black as hell's midnight. But if you are going to receive a heart as bright as heaven's midday. I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. His Spirit burning in me set my heart aglow. And I praise the Lord today. He has washed my sins away. I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. Oh, the power of felt religion. The old Scotchman was right when he said it's better felt than telt. Yes, he had felt the power of true religion in his heart. Oh, the thrill of knowing God. Really to know Him in deed and in truth. To have Him speak to your souls the wonderful laws of the Most High. This is sweetness indeed. Oh, to be forever here. Doubt and care and self-resign. While He whispers in my heart, I am His. And He is mine. What a wonder is this? What a mystery is this? What a revelation is this? What divinity is here? This is God, not man. What omnipotence here? This is God's almighty power. What omnipresence is here? This is God's presence. What omniscience is here? This is God's wisdom. Sinner in this meeting, I adjure thee this day to look to that middle tree. Let your eyes and whole beings focus upon the one marred more than any man and is far more than the sons of man. Remember, slowness can be your undoing forever. Regret every suggestion that you've heeded heretofore about procrastination. Mark it as now or never. To delay is damnation. Decision now. Is salvation. Glue your eyes to the uplifted God-man, for in Him and by Him and with Him alone can you learn all heaven's secrets. Only this way shall ye know that He is Christ, your only Savior and your only friend. The cross is the clarity of all God's creation. Only the triune God can give the clarity of the cross and apply it to your heart. Creation is a manifestation of multitudes of similarities. But the cross is the sole cross. It's the single cross. There could never be another. When God created the cross, He completed his creation. He'll never create again. For you can't out-create the cross. It's the summit. It's the climax. The cross is the finality of God. The cross can never be diminished. It can never be enlarged. It is God's final clarity. It is both the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. The cross is the clarity of God in grace. Let me come now to the last text. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. In the first you have seen the certainty of the cross. In the second you have seen the clarity of the cross. But here we see the centrality of the cross. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all to me. Here we have a demonstration of how central the cross is. Christ did not die to make God love me. He died because God did love me and gave his Son for me. At the center of heaven today is Christ and his cross. Read through the book of Revelation. And you'll find that Jesus is in the midst. I was struck last night late on when I'd got back from Glasgow to see that wonderful verse in the second chapter of Revelation. And what did it say? It said about Christ and his wonderful manifestation there in heaven. What a place heaven must be. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst. He's simple. He's walking in the midst of the church. And he tells them this. He says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear that are evil. And I have tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have been found liars. And thou hast bore, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from thence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come upon thee and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But then, he says, he that is an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then we come to the centrality of the cross. And I will give thee to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree that Adam and Eve dare not, without breaking God's law, dare not partake. But thank God, the law of God has been recompensed by the blood of his cross. And someday I'll stand with you in the midst of heaven and will partake of the tree of life that grows in the midst of the paradise of God. What a heaven that will be. history reversed forever. And the terrible pit that was dug by the devil closed up forever. And we, the people of God, eating of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. This is a great demonstration of the centrality of the cross. In the midst, go all through the book of Revelation and you'll find it in the midst. What about the throne? Who's in the midst of the throne? Jesus, a newly slain lamb. Revelation 6, and he's in the midst of the throne. And someday we sinners, blood washed, will sit with him in his throne, even as he has sat down in his Father's throne. Like Moses, it is the church's duty to lift up Christ. The exalted Christ is the Christ that is central of the consecrated glory of the triune God. There was an old man who lived many centuries ago. They called him John Swain. He wrote some of the most beautiful hymns that have ever been written. And he writes upon glorying in the cross, Isaiah 53:4. And he says, on the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see. While his love, my soul surprising, cries, I suffered all for thee. Then beneath the cross adoring, sin doth like itself appear. When the wounds of Christ exploring, I can read my pardon there. Here I feast my eyes forever, while this balm of life I prove. Every wound appears a river flowing with eternal love. Sorrow proves the spring of pleasure. War becomes the seed of peace. Poverty, the source of treasure. Anguish teems with boundless bliss. Who can think without admiring? Who can hear and nothing feel? See the Lord of life expiring, yet retain a heart of steel. Angels here may gaze and wonder what the God of love could mean when he tore Christ's heart asunder. A heart that never once was defiled with sin. That, my friend, is the cross. And all I can say, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest, heaven's rest, undisturbable rest, everlasting rest beyond the river. My parents are there. My loved ones there. Thank God I'm heaven bound. Thank God this is not my earth. I'm going to a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Will you be there, sinner friend? Not if you hold on to your sin. Not if you die without Christ. But today you can come. And if Moses lifted up the serpent, the Son of Man is lifted up. That whosoever in this church building today, whosoever believeth in him, will never perish, but will have everlasting life. God grant it. that you will have everlastingly. Let's stand to our feet to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy sweet presence and for the wonder of the cross. And Lord Jesus, I thank You that You came and You picked me out from all eternity and You made a choice to die for my sins on the cross, bearing shame and scoffing root. In my place condemned You stood, sealed my pardon with Your blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Lord, save sinners today. Revive the saints. Restore the backsliders. And make us watchers at the cross of Calvary. And may God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace be with us forevermore. And everybody said, Amen.